Grace and mercy, peace and protection are yours from the God who takes you by the hand and guides you through this world to eternal life in heaven above. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what do Michigan State University, Texas Tech, Virginia, and Auburn all have in common? Well, for starters, back when the 2018-2019 college basketball season started, all four of those teams had the very same goal. The goal was to beat enough of their opponents that they would be guaranteed entrance into round one of the NCAA tournament. When they reached that goal, they and their fans celebrated. But before that celebration was over, they had another goal. Now their goal was to beat the next opponent so that they could make it into round two of the tournament. Once they reached that goal, they and their fans celebrated. But before that celebration was over, now they had a new goal. The new goal was to beat their next opponent so that they could be listed among the Sweet 16. Once they reached that goal, they and their fans celebrated. But before that celebration was over, there was another goal. Now their goal was to beat their next opponent so that they would be included in the Elite Eight. Once they reached that goal, they and their fans celebrated. But before that celebration was over, there was another goal. Now the goal was to beat their next opponent so that they could be in the Final Four. Once they reached that goal, they and their fans celebrated. But now there was a new goal. The new goal was to beat their next opponent so that they could be in the championship game for the NCAA tournament. I couldn't help but think of the NCAA tournament as I was preparing our sermon for today. The reason for that, my friends, is twofold. First of all, I was reminded of this tournament because our television just happened to be tuned to the NCAA tournament week after week after week, especially if Michigan or Michigan State was playing. But even more importantly, this text reminded me of all of those players and all of those coaches and all of those fans who had one specific goal in mind: to beat their next opponent so that they would hopefully be crowned NCAA champions. Now, of course, our text for today is certainly not encouraging us to compete with our fellow Christians and to beat another Christian so that we can be declared champion. But our text for today does indeed remind us that we have a specific goal as we journey through this world as a child of God. Today, then, let's study these inspired words of our God under the theme, Get Ready for Easter. Keep your eyes focused on the goal. There are two things that Paul encourages us to do this morning. First of all, Paul encourages us to forget what is behind. And then, Paul encourages us to strain toward what is ahead. The Apostle Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter to the Christians living in the city of Philippi. And yet, the predominant theme throughout this letter centers on one word. That word is rejoice. Over and over again, Paul encouraged the Philippian Christians to rejoice in the amazing grace of the Lord their God. The joy that Paul personally experienced because of the grace of God led him to write in the opening verse of our text, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." Now, what is Paul referring to when he says, "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect"? We find the answer to that question in the two verses that directly precede our text for this morning. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, Paul wrote, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Even though Paul had indeed come to know Christ and the power of Christ's resurrection on the road to Damascus, Paul realized that he had a long way to go as a child of God. Paul knew that his entire life as a Christian would be a life of growing in his faith, growing in his knowledge, growing in his love for his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And even though Paul had already endured a great deal for the sake of Christ and for the sake of the gospel message, remember that Paul was in prison when he wrote these words, Paul understood and willingly accepted the fact that there would be even more suffering in store for him in the weeks and the months and the years to come. Paul never allowed himself to think that he already knew enough, and therefore he did not need to continue reading and studying the inspired word of his God. Paul never allowed himself to think that his faith was already strong enough, and so he did not need to continue receiving the strength that comes through the sacrament of Holy Communion. Instead, Paul kept his eyes focused on reaching the goal. Instead, Paul says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. As Paul kept his eyes focused on the goal, as Paul says, he pressed on in his life as a child of God, he sets an extremely good example for you and for me when he says in our text, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let's break that down step by step, shall we? The picture that Paul is using here in our text is the picture of someone who is running in a marathon race. As this person is running this race, it is absolutely essential for them to keep their eyes focused on the goal of crossing the finish line. Keeping one's eyes focused on the goal, however, also includes forgetting what is behind. Think about that, my friends. If a person is running in a marathon race and suddenly they stumble or fall along the way, they need to get up, forget what just happened, and keep on running. If a person is running in a marathon race and they get to a point in the course that is just overwhelmingly difficult for them, they need to press on, keep on running, and forget the section that just caused them so much difficulty. It's not difficult for us to understand how forgetting what is behind applies in our life as the children of God. For example, as Paul looked back over the course of his own life, what did he see? He saw at least two major points. First of all, he saw a life that was totally and completely dedicated to earning one's own way into heaven. As a Pharisee, Paul, who was then known as Saul, was absolutely convinced that he had earned the right to enter into heaven because of the righteous life that he was living. In Philippians 3, verse 6, Paul says that when it came to legalistic righteousness, he was faultless. How could God not be impressed with that? At the same time, as Paul looked back over the course of his life, he saw a life that is unparalleled in its zeal to destroy this new religious movement that you and I now call the Christian Church. Paul was willing to do whatever it took to literally hunt down and get rid of as many Christians as he possibly could. That's the type of thing that Paul had in mind when he said keeping his eyes focused on the goal included forgetting what is behind. That's the part of his life that Paul now considered to be rubbish. Pure rubbish, especially when compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. What does forgetting what is behind include in your life, my friends? What part of your life does Satan love to hold before your eyes in an effort to prevent you from keeping your eyes focused on the goal? What natural weaknesses do you have that your old sinful nature loves to fan into flame, trying to convince you that you can play with fire and not get burned? Whatever it is, leave it behind. Whatever it is, consider it to be rubbish. Whatever it is, let the cross of Jesus Christ assure you that it has been paid for. You are forgiven. And purely by the amazing grace of God, you are able to forget what is behind and let the past stay buried in the past. The second part of keeping your eyes focused on the goal is found in Paul's words, straining toward what is ahead. The Greek word that's translated here as straining can also be translated as stretching toward what is ahead. The picture here, once again, is that of a runner straining or stretching to cross the finish line. Every muscle in their body, every ounce of strength they have is dedicated on that one goal. They are determined to make sure that no one and nothing prevents them from crossing the finish line and completing their race. Isn't that a beautiful picture of a child of God traveling through this world, straining and stretching to cross the finish line? Unfortunately, it does not always seem to work so well. Unfortunately, it is all too easy for us to get caught up in the rat race of this life, like a dog chasing its tail. All too often, we find ourselves running around in circles all day long until we fall into bed completely exhausted at night. And then we get up to repeat that same silly scenario the next day. What have we accomplished? Where are we going? Where does it end? Keeping our eyes focused on the goal, straining and stretching like a runner to cross the finish line, keeps us from simply running around in circles as we journey through this world. How can keeping our eyes focused on the goal keep us from running around in circles in our life? The answer to that question is actually quite simple, especially when we stop to remember that for us as Christians, for us as the saved and forgiven children of God, the finish line, the goal, the prize is none other than a glorious eternal life in heaven above. I once read a hypothetical conversation that takes place between a Christian and a non-Christian. It goes like this, and the Christian begins, "What will you do after college?" "Go to grad school." "Wow. Then what?" "Probably get a job." "Then what?" "Get married, probably." "Good. Then what?" "Have kids." "Then what?" "Get a house." "Then what?" "Get a bigger house." "Impressive. Then what?" "Get a cabin on a lake." "Sounds warm and cozy." "Then what?" "Probably retire." "Then what?" "Well, I guess I'll eventually get sick and die." "Oh, really?" says the Christian. "Then what?" Keeping our eyes focused on the goal reminds us that heaven gives us the ultimate answer to the question, "Then what?" When our eyes are focused on the goal of entering into heaven, life here on this earth becomes so much more than getting an education and getting a job and getting married and having a house and then having a cabin up in the mountains. keeping our eyes focused on the goal, forgetting what is behind, and straining, stretching toward what is ahead. That does not make us daydreamers, my friends, nor rather, keeping our eyes focused on the goal, forgetting what is behind and straining or stretching for what is ahead, provides us with a clear view of the ultimate destination, the destination that gives true meaning and purpose to our lives, the destination that brings everything into this world in clear focus and puts it into a proper perspective. If you watched the games last night, or maybe caught the news this morning, then you know that there are only two teams left. Only two teams that still have the goal of beating their opponent and being crowned the 2019 NCAA champions. They are, I saw someone over here, Texas Tech and Virginia. Praise God, my friends. Praise God that our quest as Christians does not work that way. We are not here to compete with each other. We are not here to beat another brother or sister in the faith so that we can be crowned champions. No, rather, we help and encourage one another. We support and pray for each other so that we will all reach the goal of crossing the finish line and entering into our Heavenly Father's home. May the good Lord grant that as you and I continue to get ready for Easter, may the good Lord grant that as we keep both the cross and the empty grave of our Savior clearly in view, that we will follow both the encouragement and the example that Paul gives to us in our text for this morning. Forget what is behind. Let the past stay buried in the past. Strain and stretch for what is ahead, remembering that purely by the amazing grace of the Lord your God, you, yes, even you, have been called heavenward in Christ Jesus, your Lord. To God be the glory. Amen.